Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
May 27, 2008. The Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, metering patterns. Well, I'm back home in Santa Rosa and it sure feels good. I had a great time down in Ventura working on the Aperture Essential Training title, Aperture 2 Essential Training title for lynda.com. And those of you that are curious about Aperture or who are already using Aperture, I think you'll enjoy this title. It should be out pretty soon. They usually get those out in 3 weeks or so after I finish recording. So I'll keep you posted on that, but I really get into all sorts of good stuff. Lots of things that I learned from doing my podcast with Joe Shore, the senior product manager for Apple. So it's nice to have kind of an inside track there. And I picked the things that I think are the essential training items. And then there was a couple things we'll say for Beyond the Basics, but it's a terrific title. I think it's going to be around 4 or 5 hours of just pure Aperture stuff. And while I was down there, I got to do a fair amount of shooting. Got to get out to Santa Barbara one day and go shooting with Bruce, who's the co-founder of Lynda, and then talk to a lot of other photographers while I was there. And I think it's funny how things go in streaks. For some reason, while I was shooting down in Southern California, I kept running into funky lighting conditions where I had to sort of figure out. A lot of times it would be, a lot of brights with some darks or darks with some brights, things like that. Not just your normal, I can just point the camera at the scene and I'm pretty confident that the camera's going to grab it kind of stuff. And I would be shooting with people or talking about the shots with folks. And I was a little surprised that more people don't change metering patterns more often. I'm changing them all the time. And especially between evaluative or pattern metering, which I like. And that's my default setting that I always go back to. And then spot metering, which I also like a lot, which isn't my default setting, and I just always have to remember when I use spot meter to make sure that I go back to pattern, before I finish the shoot. So I'd be having conversations with folks about, how to shoot this scene or that scene, and I would, get into, okay, I think this is a good scene where we want to switch our metering pattern to spot. Go ahead, take a reading off that. That's going to be probably a little brighter than what the camera will record correctly. So then, you want to back it off a bit or however you want to, or increase the exposure a little bit, however you want to do that. And we talk about and they would look at me like, wow, what are you talking about? So after running into that a couple times, I thought I better talk about that a little bit on the show, because this could be something that is a refresher course for you. And then there may be a few of you that haven't been using your metering patterns very much either. And it's a good thing. This is one of the really cool things that our cameras have that are very useful for getting the exposure right in the camera, which saves us a lot of time later in post-production when you're using Aperture and Lightroom and Photoshop and iPhoto and all those other tools that you like on the computer. So I'll just start with evaluative or pattern metering for a second, because that is the default that most of us have our cameras set on. And it is far and away, I think, the most useful of all the options that we have. And it works really, really cool on almost every camera that's out now. Essentially, what the camera does is it divides the scene that we're looking at into segments, into chunks. And then it reads the light in each of those chunks, in each of those areas. And then inside the camera, it has a bunch of pre-programmed information that compares those patterns to stuff that's already been loaded in. So for example, if you're taking a picture of a landscape and the foreground is a little on the dark side and the sky is a little on the bright side, well, that's a standard thing. That program, that metering pattern is already in your camera, so that when your camera reads that using patterned metering, it goes, oh, I know what that is. He's probably shooting a landscape. So I have to make sure that I don't get too fooled by the bright areas being registered at the top of the frame, and make sure that I don't plug up those darker areas at the bottom, and it will do the exposure accordingly. Whereas in the old days when we used center weighted metering, that always got fooled by a bright sky, and people would constantly have underexposed foregrounds, even when the sky wasn't that bright to their eye, because it was much brighter to the camera compared to the foreground. It was the difference between the foreground and the sky that would fool it. And since it had no thinking process at all, then it would just go with the brightest thing in the frame, and therefore you get underexposed foregrounds. And it was just a nightmare. It just drove people crazy, especially people who were shooting with slides. So then when camera manufacturers began to bring some intelligence to the metering process, breaking up the scene into these segments and then evaluating each segment and then comparing that to information in the camera, this was a big breakthrough. Suddenly, all of our pictures started getting better, because even when you knew better, when you're shooting with center weighted, you would forget, right? You become so absorbed in the scene that you would forget. Or to your eye, the sky didn't look that much different than the foreground, because our eyes are so good at compensating for this kind of stuff. So we'd forget again, and constantly ending up with exposures that we didn't like. So right away, evaluative metering and pattern metering, that changed all that. So now when you just point your camera at a scene, in the old days when you're using center-weighted metering, you might get a good exposure half the time. And now those percentages go way up to like 85% of the time. Big difference, big difference. And for a lot of folks, that's all they need. However, working with a scene later on, especially a scene that has exposure problems on the computer, that can be time consuming. And then depending on how you shot, I mean, if you just point the camera at one scene and you shot, 100 frames of that one scene, then yeah, the corrections that you make for that one scene, you could probably apply to all the other scenes. For instance, I was just doing the aperture title, and you could use lift and stamp to do that. But odds are that you're shooting all sorts of different stuff, and these exposure problems can eat up a lot of your time afterwards, and all you're trying to do is bring the picture back to good, right? You haven't even really started working it yet in terms of your interpretation of the scene and doing the things that you like to do. You're just trying to bring the thing back to good. And this is a situation where I think a lot of times switching to spot metering or partial metering, depending on what your camera has. And the only difference is that spot metering is usually reading a smaller area in the center of your frame. It could be 2 or 3%. Whereas evaluative, a lot of times, is reading, 7 or 8%. It's reading a larger area. But either one does the same thing, just as the one metering pattern's tighter than the other one. And so then what you could do, if you had a tricky scene, I'll give you a classic one. If you're shooting a concert at night, and there are spotlights on one or two of the band members, this is true in theater also, and then the rest of the stage is kind of dark, if you just point your camera at that, it's going to have a really hard time with that. And chances are it's going to blow out, the people that have spotlight on it. You're not going to get much highlight detail in them. And at the same time, because it's going to try to do some compensating, this is in pattern mode or evaluative mode, it'll probably make your blacks kind of icky, murky thing. And so nothing really turns out very well. It's just kind of blah. So this is perfect time to switch to spot meter. Okay, so then you're just reading a certain area, right? So put the spot meter on, and it's usually right in the center of your frame. Put it right on the one of the guys that are highlighted with a spotlight. And then take a meter reading there. This is morning, and I have a hard time with that. I'm actually recording this on Memorial Day. So I haven't had any barbecue, no cold ones yet, nothing. And yet I have a hard time saying meter reading. Anyway, take a reading on the bright, let's say the lead guitarist, and then lock that in. You can use your exposure lock to do that. That's usually a button that's up near the shutter button on the back. You can usually do it with your thumb. And then you can recompose the scene. And suddenly you're reading, you're telling your camera, I want you to just work on this area that I pointed you to and locked in, and then let everything else go its own way. Now, right away, you've taken a huge step forward, right? Because now the camera knows what to do. You're giving the camera instructions, and it can follow those. It can do that. And I guarantee you, that shot will be better than if you shoot in pattern mode. Now, the next step is, and this is the one that kind of messes people up sometimes, is they think they're doing the right thing using spot metering mode, and they think they're doing the right thing locking it in, and they are. But the evil thing about photography, and you know this, the evil thing about photography is if there are three things you have to do to make the picture look good, and you only do two of them, the picture doesn't look as good as it should, right? Photography is sort of an all-or-nothing bargain a lot of times. So here's the third thing. The third thing is that if that subject that you pointed your spot meter to is really bright, right, then your camera may dull it down a little bit because your camera is calibrated for 18% gray. It's calibrated for a middle tone. And if you want that area that you took a picture, let's say the guy's wearing a white shirt, right, with a spotlight on, and you want that bright because that's what it was, then you also have to do exposure compensation as the third step. And of course, when you use exposure compensation, if you want to make something brighter, then you go to the plus side. So this shot with the lead guitarist wearing a white shirt with a spotlight on a dark stage could very well be something like this. Spot meter mode, lock it in, exposure compensation plus one, recompose the shot, take the picture. And that could be an absolutely dynamite shot. One of the really nice things about digital photography then is as we're trying to master this technique, we get to look at the LCD viewfinder after we take the shot. When I was shooting film and learning this, you know, it was just like, oh, God, I hope I did that right. And then, do I want to take notes right now? No, I'm at a concert. I don't want to take notes right now. But will I remember? Oh, sure, I'll remember. And then maybe you do remember, maybe you don't remember. On and on and on. Digital photography, we get to check right away. So then look at the back of your LCD and try to evaluate what you've done. Did it need the exposure compensation or did it look better without it? Maybe it's just a spot meter, lock it in, recompose, and shoot, as opposed to spot meter, lock it in, exposure compensation, and shoot. You know, so, you know, you kind of have to figure that out. Once you figure it out, once it looks the way that you want, the neat thing is, then you can just really leave it there. Leave your settings there. And a lot of times what I'll do at this point, once I figured it out, let's say that I'm starting out in aperture priority mode or program mode, right? So I'm locking it in and so that the camera remembers those settings that I want. But I'm only locking it in for a few minutes, right? And sometimes only like 15 or 30 seconds, depending on your camera. And then it'll go back to its regular measuring. So here's a kind of the insight tip. Once you get it the way that you want, once you find that metering combination, then just look at when you're locking it in, look at what the exposure and f-stop measurements are. So for example, if you're shooting at ISO 800 and the shot works out the way that you want it using this technique that I talked about to be 1/60th of a second at F4, then stop fooling around at that point. Just take it out of program mode, go to manual mode, put 1/60th at F4, and just shoot away and have a great time. Now check your shots every now and then in case the lighting, you know, really changes and you haven't really noticed it. But generally speaking, now you don't have to worry about spot metering. You don't have to worry about locking it in. You don't have to worry about exposure compensation. You can even return all of those settings back to the default so you don't screw up later on. So once you lock it in, once you're in manual exposure mode at 1/60th at F4, then you can take your metering pattern back to evaluative so you don't forget and then later on go shoot, you know, landscapes in spot metering mode and not realize it and trying to figure out why all your exposures look weird because the spot meter happened to fall on a dark rock. You know, what are the odds, right? You can take your exposure compensation off, right? And so that you don't screw up later on with exposure compensation on. And you don't have to worry about locking in your exposure because you know your exposure now. You know what it should be. So you can just go to manual mode, set it, put everything back to default, and have a great shoot. And then later on, you know, if you're checking your shots, maybe like every 5 or 10 minutes, and you notice that things are, you know, a little light or a little dark or something, you know, that they had changed the lighting, then you just go through the process again. I mean, you can simply, if you want, go back to program mode, go to spot meter mode, point at whatever it is you want to make sure is exposed properly, hit it, lock it in, take a look at it. If it looks good, great. Remember those settings. If you have to compensate a little bit, take another shot, look at it. Once it's the way that you want, remember those settings. Now let's say that it's 1/125th at F4. They brightened up the spotlight. So then, okay, great. Take everything off. Go back to manual mode. Do 1/125th at F4. And shoot away again. Your camera's going to be able to respond quickly because you have everything set. You're just in manual mode. You're just shooting, and you don't have to worry about any of that sort of stuff. You can work with burst mode. You can focus on your composition and your focusing. This is really a nice way to go. So the thing to keep in mind is this, that spot metering or whenever you go off evaluative metering, you're usually using a combination of other techniques with it. Because I think the part that people get to, as I said earlier, is they get to the point to where spot metering is reading a specific area. They know they want that area exposed a certain way, but they don't do the next step, which is then really evaluate how the camera is going to see that area they're pointing at the spot meter at. I mean, it goes the other way with dark objects, right? For instance, let's say you have a dark object in the middle of a really bright scene. You want to just let the bright scene blow out altogether. You just want to record that darker object. So you point the spot meter at it. But if it's truly a dark object and you want it dark, remember, if you just point the spot meter at it, the camera's thinking 18% gray. So it's going to try to turn it into a neutral tone and you want it dark. So that's a situation then where spot meter exposure compensation -1 or -1.5, lock that in and then shoot. Okay. So, you know, so it's spot metering gets you part of the way there, but then you have to, you know, lock it in and you know, either plus or minus depending on what the scene. Now, if you're locking it in on a neutral tone, then you're fine, right? You don't have to do any exposure compensation. So think, you know, read it, evaluate it, you know, make the adjustment and lock it in. And then if it's something like theater or, you know, the concert that we talked about, if you can, then go to manual mode. It just, you know, remember those settings that the camera figured out. Go to manual mode, just log in those settings and then return everything else back to how it was. You know, go back to, you know, evaluative metering and turn off your exposure compensation, all that stuff. Because you're in manual mode now, you don't need to worry about it. Then that way, when you switch back to program, you'll be in good shape. You won't accidentally have the spot metering on or exposure compensation. So evaluative, good most of the time. But then when you run into scenes where you want to make sure an object in the scene is exposed correctly and its tonal value is different, and sometimes by quite a bit, than the rest of the scene, then that's the time to pull out your spot meter, and that's the time to take a reading on it, and then figure out, you know, if you need to compensate up to make it brighter or compensate down to make it darker, lock it in. And then if you want to really make your life easier, just remember those settings and go to manual exposure. I think if you do that and if you practice with that a little bit, you'll feel much more in control when you're out there taking shots. And you'll come away with some really good stuff that you won't have to do post on, right? Then in post, you can do things to make the shot better. You can crop it and you can work on, you know, some of the color enhancement, some of that stuff, because you got your exposure already. So great way to go. And this works obviously really well with RAW because it gives you a little headroom when you're shooting in RAW so that even if you don't get it quite right, you got it halfway there during capture. Well, that halfway there, then you have headroom in the, you know, on both sides of what you're trying to do. And you can finish it off with shadow recovery or highlight recovery or whatever. And you have enough information to do that with. So no matter how you slice it, you know, improving your capture is going to help you all the way around. It may eliminate exposure post-production altogether or get you close enough to where you can really have that shot look the way you want with a little exposure adjustment. So metering patterns, they're pretty important stuff. And so I want to just kind of bring that up again. I hope it's helpful to you. And those of you that already know about all this stuff, I hope I just like had one thing you didn't know. One little gem in there somewhere that you didn't know. I want to mention, we still have time for this month's photo assignment. Wow, pool of light. What a coincidence. Oh, we're talking about metering patterns and pool of light, right? Pool of light is a perfect opportunity to switch your metering pattern, right? You know, the classic example that I use where the street light is illuminating, one object on the street and everything else is dark. You're going to have a hard time with that in just evaluative mode. But if you spot meter on that, adjust it the way that you want, and then go to manual exposure mode, remembering those settings, then you can get something nice and dramatic. So we still have a few days left to submit your entry for pool of light. You have till the end of the month, and then we'll roll them all up and I'll put the gallery together. Also, I want to remind you about grab shots and just keep sending them in. Just keep sending those things. You're sitting on a grab shot. Shame on you. You need to share that shot with us. And I also want to just mention the Digital Photography Companion, the book that I released in March. Actually, O'Reilly Media released it. They're the publisher. They released it in March. And if you don't have your copy yet, you know, it goes into all the stuff that we're talking about. Make sure that you pick one up somewhere, either on Amazon. There's a link right on the digital story that'll get you there. And hopefully it's in the bookstores by now. And if you go to your bookstore and it's not there, well, make sure you ask for them. Have them bring them in. Tell them that you promise they'll sell, because as soon as people look at it, they'll sell. And if you want a signed copy, you know, just drop me a line give me your mailing address, and I'll do an author's plate for you. I'll sign it for you, and I'll drop it in the mail back to you. Put it right in the book. It looks really nice. It looks very sharp, very sharp. And then I want to thank our sponsors, Red River Paper Company. They have a special offer going for digital story readers right now. You can just click on their tile. And Photomagico, the best slideshow software in the world. They have a tile too. ExpoDisc, they have a tile. Thank you for all of our sponsors. And thank you for listening. I hope today's show helps a little bit. If those of you that are in the U.S., I hope you had a good Memorial Day holiday. And then we'll meet here again next week with something new to talk about. Until then, bye-bye now.
your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, web blogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.